Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Winter Park. It was another big week for the Vikings, and it was all because of the stadium. Stadium news was front and center. And so who is more appropriate to have as our guest this week than Vikings Director of Corporate Communications, Jeff Anderson? Jeff and Lester Bagley, one of our VPs, are the Vikings front men when it comes to the stadium. So Jeff is in studio with us this week. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm great. Good. It was a busy week, wasn't it?
It was a very exciting week, a long time coming. So,
yeah. I mean, all of those days, afternoons, early mornings, meetings at the Capitol and lobbyists and all that, I mean, does that all come flashing back to you in a week like this?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the unveiling on Monday night was literally a year from the day that legislation had passed.
The governor
signed the bill on May 14th, and So it was, you know, kind of exciting for all of that to come together and to be able to show fans, this is what it's going to look like, this is how the stadium's going to feel, and you know, just an overwhelmingly positive response from fans made it all worth it.
So before we get into some of the details, you know, Monday was the stadium unveiling that you referred to. It was at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis, and most people listening weren't there, but a lot of people listening watched it on Vikings.com. So we saw what happened there and what came out of there. Right. But you were involved in planning it, deciding what was going to happen and when it was going to happen. So tell us a little bit about the event and why you guys did it, where you did it, and when you did it.
Right. Well, you know, so much hard work has gone in from our vice presidents and our stadium team and the stadium authority into this project. And it was really just kind of an opportunity for us to all come together and remember why this is so important and how great it's going to be for the state of Minnesota. And so we really wanted to do something unique, but you know, that included everyone. We had our fans there, we had the governor there, the mayor of Minneapolis, just a great turnout, a lot of business community folks, and just a very exciting turnout. And we were able to bring in people like Bud Grant and Coach Frazier and give it that Vikings feel. Obviously Paul Allen as MC was a lot of fun, and but also just to remind people that it's not just about the Vikings, that it's about the entire state, and here's how we're going to use this facility for all these other events. And I thought our architect Brian Truby did a phenomenal job of taking people through the process piece by piece, giving you a little insight into the design until finally unveiling the full design. So just an exciting night, and so many people watching on Vikings.com. It was impressive.
Yeah, and you guys, I know from my standpoint, emails, tweets, conversations on the street, I mean, the response is overwhelmingly positive to the design, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I think what's really cool is a lot of people are talking about how this is so unique to the NFL, that they expected to see elements of other stadiums and for it to look like all these other new stadiums, and it really doesn't. It looks completely unique to this state, and that's really what the stadium team wanted to accomplish and what the architects wanted to accomplish.
Previously on Vikings.com, the most watched video in the history of the website was Brett Favre and the pants on the ground video of the locker room after the Dallas game, right?
Right.
Well, now it's the stadium fly-through. That's surpassed the Brett Favre video.
That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? It shows you the interest that Vikings fans had and the positive response.
Absolutely.
If I did get negative feedback on the stadium design, I'd say the number one issue was some people think it's too futuristic looking. Mm-hmm. And that, it kind of bothers me if that's the complaint, because Minnesotans and Midwesterners, they are simple, wholesome people. Mm-hmm. But actually, Minnesota is known for progressive architecture. If you look at the Minneapolis Public Library, for example, look at the U of M campus, right? That's kind of how I feel. So I don't think it's a too futuristic looking building. I think it's appropriate for Minnesota.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, when you look at some of the architecture throughout the cities, like you mentioned, the library, if you look at the Guthrie, the Walker, you know, all of these more recent facilities have that modern progressive look, and that's, you know, what we wanted to accomplish. We want that to fit, and yes, obviously we want a great experience for our fans. We want it to be a phenomenal football stadium, but we also want it to fit into the community, into that part of downtown, and really drive development around the area. And I think with that design, you know, we can accomplish that.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a question. Have you learned how to say ethylene tetrafluoroethylene yet? Have you learned how to say it?
Ethylene tetrafluoroethylene.
Oh, there we go.
I have learned how to say it.
Okay, so tell us about that. Here's one thing. I did some research. in preparing for this, because I knew you were going to come in and have all the answers. One thing I did uncover in my research, it weighs 1/100th the weight of glass.
Yes.
And it can bear 400 times its own weight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're not going to have a roof collapse in a blizzard.
We are not going to have a roof collapse.
So
and obviously neither of you are engineers, but I spent the last couple days with some folks from HKS as well as our engineering firm, Thornton Tomasetti, just trying to better understand ETFE. We won't go the full name. We'll call it ETFE. But, you know, it's a plastic-like material that's transparent. It's obviously extremely lightweight, as you said, 1/100th the weight of glass.
Yep.
But it's incredibly durable, very resistant to corrosion and self-cleaning. So, you know, it's non-stick, non-porous. So every time it rains, the facility will self-clean. And so, but yet it'll give us that transparent, that outdoor feel while protecting fans from the environment.
And that material, the ETFE, I mean, it, I don't know what the right word is, diffuses or whatever, the light. So it's not like we're going to be sitting in a greenhouse or anything, right?
Right. I mean, you will certainly have that sunlight, that feel of outdoors. It's going to be better than an outdoor stadium in terms of the heat and the sunlight. But, but yeah, you will have that outdoor feeling. But the ability to cool the bowl is what's going to make a pleasant experience for the fans.
And I know you've gotten a lot of questions about, like, snow removal. How is the snow going to be removed? Is it going to slide off and injure people? And then the fogging up and things like that. So what are your answers to those issues?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the design and our architect, Brian Truby, walked through it from the start. The design of the roof, the slope of the roof is for the snow. Obviously, it's a great piece of architecture, but ultimately it's to get that snow off the roof. And so they've designed it in a way that there are snow diverters on the sides. So as the snow slides off the roof, it'll go into these catch basins, melt. So we won't have, you know, fans getting hit with ice or snow. So, you know, they're the experts. We're obviously not experts in that area, but they feel very comfortable about that, and that makes me feel comfortable.
You know, and with what happened in Dallas Super Bowl week with ice sliding off of their structure, and then here the roof collapsing, I mean, that's not something that's going to be overlooked. I don't think we really are going to have to worry about that part of it.
Absolutely.
On the website, in one of the articles we had about the stadium, we included a poll there. What's your favorite feature of the stadium? Mm-hmm. Mine is the pivoting glass doors.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that and how that came up in your guys' meetings and then the decision process to put those things in.
Yeah, well, I think the stadium team, again, our vice presidents and the stadium authority that really put this design together with HKS, as they went through the process, they just realized that with this ETFE roof and the pivoting doors, we could provide the best, most unique experience, something that hasn't been accomplished in the NFL. And so now you have these 95-foot high doors. They're the largest glass doors, pivoting doors in the world. You know, that's going to be something that has never been seen. And so it's exciting. And when you couple it with the 2-acre plaza outside on the west, you really create this game day experience for our fans that they just haven't had before.
So the doors that pivot and open, that's the same side as the plaza, right? And the plaza was a big focus too, because that's the whole pre-post game experience part beyond just the 3 hours of the game, right?
Absolutely. And you know, if you've been to our plaza currently, while it's a great time, it's obviously a very cramped environment. So now you we'll have over 2 acres of a plaza area. And then if you look at this Ryan Company's development that was brought forward this week, and you know, obviously still a lot of work for them to do with the city to make that come to fruition, but if you add a 2-block park on the edge, so now you have a 2-acre plaza, 2 blocks of green space, you can create something that has never been done, you know, when you look at really truly an urban setting for a stadium.
It's basically a new area for the city of Minneapolis and for anyone in the state to come enjoy.
Absolutely.
Have you guys done any discussions about, like, restaurants in the building, outside of just the concessions, like a restaurant, a Hall of Fame, things like that might be open year-round or a majority of the year?
Yeah, those are really important to the team, and I think to the authority as well, just to, again, make this building a year-long asset. You know, so yes, there will be a team store, there or team restaurant, there will be a Hall of Fame, cool. All those elements that'll be open 365 days a year.
Has there been, I know that there was different figures that have been spit out about the size of those big HD boards mm-hmm. that we all look mm-hmm. at in these stadiums. Mm-hmm. Like, do we know how big those are, or do you have any stats on that? Like, you know, make that sound really good. What are those boards going to be like?
Well, 50 feet by 120 feet. So they'll be among the biggest in the NFL.
Cool.
And then not only that, but then you have the video, the ribbon boards going around both yep. concourses. So really going to give our fans that game day experience. And then also the connectivity, you know, we'll have adequate wireless, which we don't have in mm-hmm. the current setting. You know, so our fans can stay connected to their family and friends. We're looking at things like a fantasy football yep. lounge where you could check your stats.
Cool.
You know, another cool thing that I think people really appreciate is that view into the bowl from the concourse. So from the entire 360 degrees of the upper bowl, you'll be able to view into the playing field, and I think wow. that's really neat.
I mean, talk about the opposite of what Mall of America Field is,
absolutely.
Right? Where it's, I mean, there's... All you can see through is the gate, is the basically the doorway down an aisle.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't see from the concourse.
Exactly.
Cool. With competitive issues, and what I mean by that is like coaches and mm-hmm. like Rick Spielman, the general mm-hmm. manager, building a roster, and like I know someone like special teams coordinator Mike Prefer.
Yeah.
Like he might want to know what are the shadows going right. to be like in the sun.
Right.
So how do you guys go about that, addressing the competitive issues with yeah. coaches and the general manager? How'd that go?
Well, actually, yesterday we just met again with the architects and with Coach Frazier and some of the coordinators as well as Rick Spielman and some of the football staff, our athletic trainers, our strength coaches, mm-hmm. and starting to look at the service level. We've done this a couple times now, met with them, you know, over a month ago and changed the plans based on what they need. How big does the locker room need to be? What does the training facility sure. need? What does Dennis Ryan need in the equipment room? And where is the truck going to come in to drop off equipment? All those things are being worked through right now. And it's kind of fun to see the football guys, you know, get involved and give us ideas and suggestions. And obviously the architects take it because these are the guys that we need to serve every week during the season.
Cool. And then plus, I mean, when you give them input on it and engage them, they're going to be less likely to complain about it too, right?
Exactly. I mean, right. When yeah. a lot of the ideas are theirs,
yeah, right.
tough to complain.
So we're going to have some sort of artificial surface in there, I would imagine, not mm-hmm. natural grass, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
And I mean, there's all different kinds of artificial surfaces. There's field turf and the right. Sport XE or whatever.
Right.
We'll decide on that later, but it will be artificial.
Yeah, it will be, you know, obviously when you have to close it like we will, it just, yeah. We're going to have to go with the artificial turf,
yep.
but, you know, so to be determined on what field turf yep. is used.
How about stuff? I get this question a lot too, stuff from the Metrodome/Mall of America Field, like
yeah.
seats or banners, yeah. whatever. Have you guys gotten questions about that, and what are you going to do?
Actually, yeah, the authority has been getting a lot of those questions, and we've gotten, as you pointed out, we've gotten several of them too, you know, season ticket owners that want to take
yeah.
their seat, which I think is really cool. And I know they did it in Dallas when they built their new stadium, let a lot of ticket owners take their seats. So we've discussed some of those things with the authority, and further discussion will happen on that. But hopefully we'll be able to give some fans some mementos
yeah.
from the building.
It'll be kind of that's one more reason for fans to go get tickets for this season. Get
yeah.
your season tickets, or when single game tickets go on sale, get your tickets. I mean,
yeah.
as happy as we are to get out of the building and get our own new building, you know, there were a lot of good memories in that stadium, and so I think people should go back and watch another game the last season at that stadium, right?
I agree. You know, obviously the challenge of the Metrodome, you know, is why we're where we are.
Yeah.
But you think about all the memories that people have. I mean, I can remember as a kid coming up from Iowa to games,
yeah.
baseball games, football games with my family, and so there's these great memories. And you know, how fun will it be to have the final season and you know, hopefully have some success on the field?
Yep. what's next? I mean, the design is unveiled. You know, we have the architect. Some construction issues, maybe. Do we have to choose construction companies, or what are you guys going
to
do next?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the stadium team will continue to meet and finalize all these design details, and I think you'll see things kind of happen in phases in terms of now the interior design. You know, what is a suite going to look like? What are the concourses going to look like? How many restrooms? All of those details will start to come out. How big are the seats going to be? All that will come forward. We have Mortenson Construction on board, our local construction manager, which is exciting. Now, you know, we'll have groundbreaking this fall in October, most likely, and hopefully we'll be able to bring our fans together for that as well. So some more exciting things along the way. We've talked about doing some season ticket owner exclusive events here, maybe at Winter Park, where we can bring in the architect and give our fans some football as well as some stadium talk.
All right, man. We'll get back to work. Lots more to do.
All right. Appreciate it.
We thank Jeff for coming in to talk stadium with us. It was a huge topic in the news cycle this week, so it's good to get the details from a guy who knows the details. Let's go from talking about what's going on with our new field coming up in 2016 to what's going on the field right now. And for the Vikings, that's Joe Webb switching from quarterback to wide receiver, a move many fans have wanted to see for quite some time, and a move the Vikings made just a couple of weeks ago. In fact, they decided to do it right after the draft, according to head coach Leslie Frazier. So Joe Webb goes to wide receiver. You know, I've said a couple of times this offseason before the Vikings decided to do this that position changes in the NFL, that's a difficult thing. It's easier to say than it is to do. You know, I mean, guys train their entire careers and lives at one position. And so, A, it's hard to stop that training and then train at a new position. But B, it's hard to begin training at a new position and then beat out a whole bunch of other guys who've been training at that position for their whole careers. Now, if anyone can do it, though, it's going to be Joe Webb. After all, he did play receiver in college when he was a sophomore at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, had 30 catches for like 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then he actually played wide receiver at his rookie minicamp appearance with the Vikings following the 2010 draft when the Vikings took him in the 6th round. But then he switched to quarterback right away and has played quarterback ever since. Most recently, he started for Christian Ponder in the playoff game at Lambeau Field. But now he switches to wide receiver. We know he has the ability and the skill set to do it. He's got good height. He's 6'4". He's got good speedy time in the low 4.4s in the 40-yard dash when he was coming out. Great leaping ability. He's got legitimate ankle-breaking agility, side-to-side movement. I think he can be a good red zone target. I think he can be good in the short passing game, good yards after catch guy. So it's going to be fun to watch him go through this process and try and carve out a spot on the depth chart as a receiver. He joins a position group that has 12 guys in it, so the competition is going to be pretty thick, and that group includes a first-round pick in Cordarrelle Patterson and a blue-chip free agent signing in Greg Jennings. You add in there a guy like Jarius Wright, and there's just not a lot of positions available, and there's a lot of guys competing for just a few spots. So it's going to be fun to see, and I think Joe Webb can do it, but he's going to have to prove to coaches that he can do it throughout the offseason program here, and then when we get into training camp. You know, the one thing, though, that has gone kind of under the radar in the week or so that people have been talking about Webb switching to wide receiver is if he makes the roster as a receiver, let's say he's the 4th or 5th or 6th receiver, that really gives the Vikings some roster flexibility when it comes to game day and declaring the 46 guys who are going to be on the active roster. Here's what I mean by that. Let's say a special circumstance comes up, injuries have depleted the depth on the offensive or defensive line, or special teams coordinator Mike Prefer wants an extra linebacker up because of some things he's going to do schematically on special teams. Or let's say you're going to play some unique sort of offense, and so you want an extra player at a certain position active. What you can do if Joe Webb is on your team as a wide receiver is, with his experience playing quarterback, maybe you don't need a third quarterback active on game day. So you, McLeod Bethel-Thompson may be our third quarterback, and he's going to be active for a lot of games. You can deactivate him knowing that Joe Webb, who's active as a wide receiver, is a guy that could play quarterback for you in a pinch. So if something happens to your starter and your backup and you get to emergency status at quarterback, you can put Joe Webb in there. So you know, I think if Joe Webb makes the roster as a receiver, there's going to be some interesting decisions that the Vikings coaching staff is going to have to make on a week-to-week basis, and it's a good decision to have to make, having that extra flexibility with Joe Webb. It might seem like something that's rarely ever going to happen, but it is a factor in the roster-making decisions that the coaches have to make, and so it'll be an interesting situation to watch. A lot of people have wanted to see this for a long time, and now we get to see it. Joe Webb switches to wide receiver. That is it for us today. Thanks again for listening. To play us out, we leave you with a cartoon theme song we think you'll like. Take it away.
Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes a Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big day. Wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find a Spider-Man.